Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, everybody.
Hi, guys. Well, from beautiful Salt Lake City, Utah,
it's Thank God I'm Atheist,
the podcast.
I'm Frank Feldman.
And I'm Dan Beecher.
And coming up today.
Woo. Sounds exciting.
Oh, my goodness. We are going to be talking about
feelings. Here's what we're going to be talking about. Being an atheist the right way. Do it our way or it's the wrong way.
That's right. That's right. No, in fact, the exact opposite,
the opposite of that. We're gonna talk about, you know, you actually referenced some feelings that had been bubbling inside of you recently, last week on our show.
Yeah.
And I
that was a real moment of weakness on my part.
Yes, you should never, ever let our listeners know how you truly feel about anything. However, we're going to do just that.
Oh, boy.
Later on in the show.
Very exciting. Very exciting. All right.
Yeah.
Well, cool, Dan.
What do you got?
Are you doing anything for Lent this year?
For Lent? I'm doing this right now. I mean, considering we're in the period of Lent.
I think, Dan, you should give up your beard for Lent.
My beard is not my own.
No?
I have no right to give up my... I signed
At
away
this
my...
moment, you do not own your beard?
Because I'm going to be in a show, and they're going to tell me if they want it longer or if they want it shorter, but I want to give them as much to work with as they can.
What about your cheeks? Are you cleaning up your cheeks these
Oh, the
now?
Cheeks are mine, and the neck is mine.
So those you'll be using your Harry's?
Yeah, those I'll be using my Harry's for.
Okay.
And then maybe they'll have me shave the whole thing off, at which point I will be all Harry's all the time.
Right.
And ironic, actually, Harry's, that's the name of the thing. But yes, ladies and gentlemen... If you are a man who likes to shave, then harrys.com is the place for you.
And yeah, and right now they have this whole thing where you sign up, right? And they send you a free sample. A starter kit.
It's a whole kit. It's not like one thing. It's like you get the trial offer includes a weighted ergonomic handle.
Yeah,
the cartridge that goes on it, the five-blade cartridge.
Right.
You get the
shave. Which is, honestly, no kidding, so super comfortable of a shave.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, you don't even feel it gliding all along
your
skin.
I mean, you're aware that it's there.
Right.
And you know where it is. Like, you're in control of what's going on.
Right.
But it's just so smooth and...
Yeah. Yes.
And gentle.
Indeed. So you get that. You get the shave gel.
Which we both are on record of really loving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say I'm a little picky about my shave gel.
Oh.
I don't, you know, there's a lot that's on the market that I have not enjoyed.
But you've been known to, when you don't have one you like, you just go dry.
In the past, right? I have gone dry.
Yeah.
I have gone gel-less.
And this is a gel that's so good
that I'm using it.
That you use it. That's
actually
awesome.
using it. A travel blade cover. And that is a $13 value that they'll just give you.
Yeah.
Because you know us. Because we're your hookup. Yeah. We're your friends.
Yeah.
Here at the TGIA show. You have to do is go to harrys.com/TGIA, sign up. Now, mind you, this is a subscription service, which is a good thing. That means that you sign up. Now, you don't have to continue it. If you use it, you try the trial thing for free. If you don't like it, just cancel your subscription. You never have to deal with it again.
Right.
If you do like it, it just comes to you. You don't have to worry that you're going to like run out of blades or whatever. It just comes to you delivered to your door.
Yeah, that's nice.
And yeah, you're going to get that. You're going to get a great shave at a great price.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where's the downside?
I can't see.
Friends?
One. I can't.
All
it's
right.
Not there.
Yeah. Great gift. If you want to do it as a gift for somebody.
Like Easter.
Yeah, sure.
Easter's coming.
Yeah. Everybody needs to do an Easter
gift. It's
also
the traditional gift of Easter.
Yeah.
The razor blades.
Yeah, for ladies, I think it's a bonnet. And for men, it's a razor.
Yeah. Do it.
Yeah. Winter's going away. You're going to want to let your face just shine for the summer sun.
Yeah.
Soak up those rays.
Are you going to do it? Are you going to shave your face?
Maybe. Again, my face ain't mine.
I know.
I'm in shows. I'm an actor.
Mine is mine.
Yeah, maybe you'll be clean shaven soon.
Maybe. You never know.
You never
ever know, Dan.
We change it up, baby. We're crazy like that.
Well, all right, Dan.
Yeah.
Lent though.
Lent,
it's a serious thing.
It is for a bunch of silly reasons, sure.
Yeah, and I mean it really has just turned into I'm giving up chocolate.
Right. I'm giving up, yeah.
Oh, I'm giving up martinis.
I've given up gluten for Lent. I'm not doing gluten for Lent.
Well, the Church of England is on record the church is going to give something up for Lent this year.
Oh?
Plastic.
Oh! Okay.
Yeah. And they're actually issuing it as a Lent challenge. I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh, I like it. Hashtag but, Lent challenge.
but they're spearheading this big movement to give up plastic. I don't know if you heard about this recently. The Queen has ordered all of the royal palaces to be done with disposable plastic items.
Huh.
Completely done with them.
Huh.
She watched some David Attenborough special
about plastic,
about the gyre
interfering with fish or whatever.
Yeah. Mm. And she was just like, no way. We're getting rid of it. So I don't know. I wonder if she called up some of her friends over at the Church of England.
She's the head of the church. She really is.
I know she is.
Which is ridiculous, but
yeah.
There it is.
And so they are, the church, I guess, has a wider environmental program that they call Shrinking the Footprint.
Mm.
Nice name.
Sure.
But yeah, it's kind of an interesting thing. And it's also, what is interesting, and you know, I was kind of led in with this whole, like, you know, secularization of Lent.
Right.
Lent. With these kind of more the kind of wellness concepts,
right?
And, you know, rather than, you know, I'm going to give up some vice, an actual vice,
right,
for Lent, or
I'm giving up donuts, not sweets in general. I love sweets, but I'm giving up donuts, which I like a lot.
You do. I'm always surprised by the number of times that I've seen donuts around your house, that you have offered me donuts.
It's not that often.
No, it's clear that it's a special treat, but
it's something where every now and then I'll be shopping at the Smith's, and I'll just be like, "Oh, yeah, we'll just do that today. They're on sale." Whatever.
See, that never would even occur to me.
Well,
but then you probably don't have, you know, tins and tins and tins stacked up of the Dansk Danish butter cookies.
No, I do not.
Because when they went on sale for $1 a tin at Smith's,
like, give me a case.
I actually counted the number that was in the, like, in cap. I was like, can I afford all of them?
Okay.
These all right. $1 a case, like, Jesus Christ, I could walk out with 50 of those.
Sure.
And feel pretty good about that, too.
And what, they'll keep for 10 years?
I can't imagine they go bad.
And if you think they might, you just, you know, you put out a booth, like lemonade
stand. A little
stand.
Girl Scout booth.
Yeah, you sell them right out in front of your condo or whatever.
Well, let me tell you, come July, when everybody's kind of jonesing for some Danish butter cookies, I'm going to have them.
I think you've got it. I think this is a can't fail situation. Just don't put them in plastic or the queen's coming for you. See how I tried to tie it back to the story?
I was going to, Now I was going to make a reference to how that's one thing I'll never give up for Lent.
Right. Yeah.
My Danish butter cookies.
That's interesting. You know what's shocking about this story to me?
What?
I didn't know that the Church of England did Lent.
Well, yeah. Why wouldn't they?
I don't know, dude. I don't think... Do Protestants do Lent?
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was a Catholic thing.
Sort of your mainline do.
All right.
You know, that kind of... The ones with the collars, they do.
If the person at the front of the congregation dresses funny, then they do.
Yeah.
If it's just a suit and tie up there, forget it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Because, you know, Mormons, we didn't grow up with Lent.
No.
That's not a Mormony thing at all.
Correct.
I think it's actually broadly Protestant. I think even like your evangelicals and your...
They do a Lent?
I think they know, don't they?
I don't know.
I think everybody...
Someone's going to write to us now. Please do. Please write into us and let us know who does Lent.
Them, I don't know. To be honest, them, I don't know.
Right.
But I know that like your sort of pompy, circumstancy churches, they all do.
Sure.
If you could go to church and get ash on your forehead...
Oh, yeah.
You're probably...
Is there a way to put it... Oh, I need to get like... On Ash Wednesday, I need to do it like a pentagram, like an inverted pentagram in ash on my forehead. I really just walk around with that. Give a little knowing nod to anybody who has the cross. Like, hey, we're the same thing, different teams, but same thing.
Well, you could just do like a very obvious upside down cross.
Yeah, but right? I've seen how these priests do it. I'm sure half of them are actually upside down crosses because they're just going fast.
Just smudge with their thumb real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty
true. All right. I'm going to move on to Florida, where I don't know if you know this. It didn't really make the news, but there was a shooting a couple weeks ago.
Damn, I don't even like that associated with this story.
Yeah.
Any kind of jokey with it. I am so pissed, Dan.
I know.
I am outraged.
I know.
I've been yelling at anybody who will listen, which is probably not a good thing.
Right, yeah. I'm sure
just
you've
screamed.
I'm sure you've changed hearts and minds across the land.
Well, I hope people know that I'm serious when I say fuck the Second Amendment. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Fuck that thing. I'm done with it.
Yeah. It doesn't,
I don't care.
It doesn't protect us at all. It does nothing for us.
It's a poorly written amendment. It's addressing an issue that doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
And it's been interpreted to mean something that's not. Fuck it.
Yep.
Fuck the Second Amendment.
Yep. I'm with you on that.
And so I've come up with my slogan. Right.
What?
No more second chances. Isn't that good?
God. I'm going to do the story. Okay.
I'm so mad I came up with a slogan, Dan.
You are that mad. That's how, ladies and gentlemen, Frank's on fire.
Hashtag no more second chances.
Right.
It's not
with an
too
emphasis
long
on the second
for,
thing. You got to put like a.
You got to put some quotes. Maybe like, can you have quotes?
No, you'll have to like do an intercap thing where second is all in caps and everything else is in lowercase or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's rough.
Anyway, in Florida. There have been many calls for the Florida state legislature, the Florida state governing bodies, to do something.
Uh-huh.
And what usually is meant by that is like something to do with guns.
Right.
Help us out here. Do something.
About these guns.
But not all of the lawmakers thought with guns was the answer. So Florida's House Bill 839... was introduced. A lot of people heard about this. To require every public school in Florida to display in a conspicuous place the state and national motto of In God We Trust.
Yeah, didn't we talk about this?
Well, this is new. There's new fire in this, in this thing. The Senate introduced a bill to do this a few weeks back.
Right.
Now they've got the real momentum because they're really trying to avoid doing anything substantive. They're working so hard to avoid anybody, like to distract everybody from the fact that they're doing nothing. So they're doing a very specific nothing to make sure.
I don't think people are going to be so easily distracted this go around.
No,
this feels very, very different.
And as a matter of fact, one of the sponsors of the bill had this to say. This is the bill's sponsor, House Rep Kimberly Daniels, a Democrat from Jacksonville, who also runs a ministry.
Oh, yeah. I don't like Kimberly Daniels.
Mm-mm. She said basically, it's not a secret that we have some gun issues that need to be addressed, but the real thing that needs to be addressed are issues of the heart.
Oh, dear God.
Issues of the heart, Frank.
No. No, that's not what it is.
The problem with that young man and all of these men who go into these schools and shoot people, it's a heart issue.
Okay, so I'm not saying that these people are not broken.
Right. Something's gone horribly wrong.
Something has gone horribly wrong.
Sure.
Something goes horribly wrong with people all over this fucking planet.
Yes.
Happens in every society, happens in every country, yeah. Right? Something fucking goes wrong in somebody's life. Well, why is it that in this country everybody's fucking shooting things up because something goes wrong in their life?
It's a heart problem.
No. It's a gun problem.
We need cardiologists in this
country.
Pure
and simple, it's a gun problem.
Okay. Well, I didn't realize that I was going to trigger you so much with this story. I will say, I'm just going to sort of finish the story, and then you can...
You didn't know I was this angry.
And then you can go on your 20-minute rant.
Let's see. Is one of these about guns? One is about guns.
Oh, my gosh. Daniels also said that God, in reference to God, Daniels said, he's not a Republican and he's not a Democrat. He's not black and he's not white. He is the light, and our schools need light in them like never before. So she's
no,
got... So,
they need to not have guns. never before.
No, I mean, our president has been very clear. They need to have all of the guns.
I know, it's ridiculous.
Because as we've learned... From that shooting, only thing that can stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun, unless he happens to not go into the school.
Unless the good guy with a gun accidentally shoots the toilet when they're in the bathroom, and the toilet explodes and shards of porcelain go into the good guy's leg. This happened.
I know. That
teacher with a gun.
That happened here in Utah, but yeah. I'm talking about like the trained police people with guns in Florida who didn't actually enter the building.
No, I know. I know.
I think we can safely dismiss the good guy with a gun myth at this point.
Well, and they want to give the good guys AR-15 so that they have equal
there you go.
Firepower.
Excellent. It's just
Isn't that
what
just
we
a
need.
Great idea?
Yeah.
It's all fucking ludicrous.
You get five or six guys spraying bullets left and right in a room full of children. Only good things can happen.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. Moving on to the same issue.
So
I
not
have
moving
a
on at all.
I have a story... About, okay, Wayne LaPierre.
Head of the National Rifle Association.
Yes. An all-around good guy.
Oh.
Just.
And a handsome devil of a man, too.
All you have to do is just look at him.
Yeah.
And know, that's a good guy.
You look at him and know that is a reptilian alien in a man suit.
He's a good guy with a whole bunch of guns.
Yeah.
And a whole bunch of, gun-loving people in his organization. And you know what? Here's the thing. I accept the fact that probably by and large, the vast majority of members of the NRA are good, upstanding citizens.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
They just love guns. Right?
Yeah.
And that's where we differ.
And they
That's fine. And I don't mean to disparage them. I do, however, mean to disparage the fucking asshole that they have at the head of their organization.
Yeah. Yeah,
who
he's a disingenuous
says
prick.
Things such as, "Oh, I think he's perfectly genuous, Dan."
Okay,
there's nothing disingenuous. Anyway, blah blah blah. So he says this. Okay. He says this at CPAC.
Oh,
right. Thank you. The Conservative Political Action Conference.
Yeah.
As usual, he says. The opportunists wasted not one second to exploit tragedy for political gain, right?
Mm.
The elites do not care one whit about America's school system and school children.
he said, speaking to a room full of elites. In a gun-free zone, no less.
Right. If they truly cared, what they would do is they would protect them.
Mm-hmm.
They would add more guns to the situation.
Right.
For them, it is not a safety issue. It is a political issue. It's just all so infuriating. Anyway, he continues on. He says things about the constitutional right to bear arms is not bestowed by man.
No.
But granted by God.
Right.
The right to bear arms is granted by God to all Americans as our American birthright.
Hmm. Great. Yeah, I've heard that before.
Why the fuck would God
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like, what? So they take, you know, there is sort of this sense of where the line that used to be drawn was that each human being has a right to protect themselves from attack from others.
Sure.
And then that was each human being has a right to protect themselves by means of a weapon.
Right.
That makes it a little grayer. The area gets a little grayer. And then by means of a firearm, that makes it even grayer. But still, like, sort of within the bounds of a logical, like, you can make a logical argument that everyone has a right to protect their then it becomes about not just their own body, but their possessions. Like, you have a right to protect your stuff.
Right.
From
your property.
From theft or
there's a burglar in your house.
Right.
You have the right to shoot him.
Yeah, because of safety and because of your own property and stuff.
And because fuck you, burglar.
Right. But that's where
it led, burglar.
That's where it's come to is like, I got a right. I like to shoot folk. You know, it's like, it's yeah. gotten to the point where it's like, I have a right to feel manly.
Yeah.
I got a right to feel like I can, or like I've got power in my hands.
Isn't that, that's a sad way to feel like a man.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not manliness in my book. That's just firing a gun.
No.
And I've fired guns plenty.
Yeah.
But it's not, but yeah, that's not what makes me feel manly.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, attacking the burglar and killing him with your own bare hands.
Oh, yeah.
That's manly.
When you strangle and you start to feel the life just leave that body.
Yeah.
With your hands, when you yeah. feel it, that tactile yeah. sensation, that's manly.
And the
manliness.
Look on their face.
Oh, my God.
That's being a man.
Just when their eyes go blank,
yeah.
that's that moment. That's a manly moment right
yeah.
there.
Yeah, yeah, that's good stuff, Dan.
Oh, my God.
So the NRA, I guess nobody should be surprised, especially at this point, that I'm fucking pissed. And
I would just like to remind our listeners,
and you know what?
Oh,
I've got a microphone in front of me.
Yeah,
and so I'm a little angry, and I'm going to spout off.
You're using
the microphone.
Yeah, I don't disagree with anything you're saying.
And
you and I are a bit on the extreme side of this conversation in terms of like being willing to have a full on. Let's just ban some guns
yeah.
and let's actually solve the problem the way other countries have clearly solved the problem.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, if this whole thing actually leads to some what are called, quote, common sense gun laws,
I will accept progress.
Yeah.
However, that progress will not solve the problem.
Nope.
It absolutely will not. And Dana Loesch. Have you heard of Dana Loesch?
I've heard
that's
that
a
name
you should know, Dan. Yeah. She's an NRA spokesperson.
Yeah.
She's the one. You've heard her quote. Guaranteed you've heard her quote by this point. The one where she says, many in legacy media love mass shootings because crying white mothers are ratings gold.
Wow.
She said she didn't just like kind of sort of say that and somebody heard her. It wasn't a hot mic situation.
Right.
She says this
like
to a crowd of NRA supporters.
Yeah, that's her speech.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she ended up on the CNN town hall thing where they actually have a panel of students and parents and community members from the Florida high school.
Yeah.
Right. And that was an angry audience.
Yeah.
And so she starts talking her stupid, you know, talking out both sides of her mouth thing where, you know, oh no, I want you to be safe in your schools and blah, blah, blah. And the audience is just like, boo. And she's like, well, let me talk. Like, I'm up here to talk. And it's like, no, fuck you. Fuck you because we already know what you're going to say.
Right.
We already know that it's the worst, most evil statement that any human being could ever say because it's like, you know, kind of sort of like, oh no, I love you guys and I want to help and protect you, but no, you're representing, you know, gun manufacturers.
And that's the thing that there's a misconception about what the NRA is. It's not there to represent the rights of owners of guns.
Right.
They exist to sell guns.
Yes.
They
represent an industry.
Yeah.
They're a lobbying organization.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on. We've really beat that horse.
Oh, and yeah. Yeah, okay, fine.
Okay. I'm going to take us to Louisiana, where a private Baptist college it's called Louisiana College.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And its president, Rick Brewer, are being sued. Because they have not hired a young man that they said that they would hire. Now, here's what's interesting. He's suing. This is a guy named Joshua Bonadonna, who is accusing them of violating his civil rights.
Oh.
Now, as a private institution, of course, they have the right to sort of make rules about who they can hire or whatever.
Right.
He is a practicing Christian.
Okay.
A professing Christian. He wanted to be hired as a sort of assistant football coach.
Okay.
He had already worked there as such and then had left that college and gone to another place to get a master's degree while he was coaching in another place. And now he was promised that he could come back. So he quit at the other place.
Okay.
And wanted to come back. Had an interview with Mr. Brewer, the president of the college, who decided not to hire him.
Oh no!
And when Mr. Bonadonna talked to the head coach and asked why, the head coach said, "Well, you remember how in the interview he asked about your parents and you told him that your dad was Catholic and that your mom was Jewish. They're not hiring you because of the Jewish blood. Your Jewish blood," was the quote that came back.
No.
Yeah. So in spite of all of the use of the rampant use of the term Judeo-Christian when these evangelicals and whatever are talking about,
and here's somebody who literally is Judeo-Christian.
Yeah. He's the embodiment of the thing. But that, you know,
they don't really like it.
The truth is that they don't like the Jews. They just know that they want Israel for themselves later. So like we're on Jews' side. Because the Jews are also anti-Muslim, and really who we hate the most is the Muslims, and then the Jews, and then, so we'll be on the Jew side of a lot of these questions, but no, the dude's mom was Jewish, they won't hire him.
Oh my God, oh my God.
Yeah.
That is like... It's starting to sink in. It's starting to settle. Like,
yeah.
It's horrifying.
Well, and it's also like starting to sink in that like this is what the Trump era hath wrought is like this sense of everybody oh, good, we get to just say our prejudices out loud again.
Yeah. Yeah. We're so, free. We're free to exercise them as well.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, so I don't know how
this... put them on display. Jews need not apply.
Yeah. Yeah, it does seem like... I mean, I don't think that the head coach was supposed to say that out loud to this kid.
No, clearly not.
But...
he did.
But he did.
Ooh, that head coach is in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
You better not have any questionable ancestry.
I think everybody's in a lot of trouble on that one, because you can't do that. I don't know. Maybe they can. I don't know what how the rules work for, like, can a Christian school just say, no, you're a little too Jewy, and then you're done?
Well,
it feels might be able to.
They probably, I guess, maybe can. I don't know. It's horrifying. What they really should do is they should do one of those genetic, you know,
ancestry tests,
right? Where, you know, it's just to clear everybody.
Sure.
I got mine. I'm clear.
You got no Jew?
It turned out I don't have even like any.
With the name Feldman?
I know. I thought for sure something was going to pop up. Nothing. In addition to that, let me put it, aside from the gay thing, I would have been safe in 1940s Germany.
Well, the gay thing's pretty big.
I know, it's pretty big. It's big. but you can hide it if you need to.
Yeah.
You know.
But your papers are clear.
My papers are clear. Just spotless.
See, this is why I don't want to do one of those ancestry things or one of these, you know, 23andMe or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm afraid I'd just get an envelope back. Because I would want there to be fun diversity in my in my heritage.
No, there's not.
And it would just come back with the word white. And that would be all it said.
Essentially, like, it's like 99.1 or 99.3% like northeastern or northwest European.
Right. Yeah.
Which is, for Hitler, that was the good stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, you and me were the Aryan Nation poster children.
It's just the worst. Like I got the results and I was just like, oh, huh.
Let's move on. What do you got?
Well, I have a story of a couple, a lesbian couple.
Here's a story
down
of a lesbo couple
down in Texas.
Yeah. Oh,
so
well,
it starts to get good.
Starts
to get intriguing.
Best place to be a lesbian
who want to foster refugee children.
Oh,
okay.
Right. That's lovely.
It's a lovely
and
thing.
B, I don't think Texas is going to let you do that.
Well, Texas itself, who knows?
Okay.
Well, actually, no, we do know. We actually do know what Texas would do on that. But the local organization that they had to go to, that was the only organization in their area that handles fostering out unaccompanied children,
sure,
refugee children,
okay,
right, is Catholic Charities.
Oh, right.
They receive huge amounts of federal funding.
Right.
In order to administer these refugee programs. And they were told, this couple was told, that foster parents must, quote, mirror the Holy Family.
So,
and they don't.
The mother has to be a virgin.
Yeah. Can you believe that?
Yes, I can believe that.
A man and a woman, that's all that Catholic Charities is willing to do business with.
Right.
And
no single parents?
Single parents, I think, are largely kind of ruled out in general.
Hmm.
Because single parent is code for gay person.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what Utah did way back in the day.
Really?
Yeah. In order to make it, in order to exclude any gay person from adopting in the state of Utah, they made it so that... No, wait. How did that work? Oh, they made it so that no unmarried couples.
I see.
You could be a single person back in the way that they did it before. But no unmarried couples could adopt.
Huh.
But
then that got ruined because they started marrying the gays.
I know. So how do you exclude them? Well,
it's so hard to exclude.
Only use federal and government funding
for private
channel it funnel it through religious organizations that will then exempt or exclude, rather, people who they don't like or want having.
And then you make sure that there are no regulations that require them to actually act like a decent organization.
Right. Well, Texas has one of these laws that's supposed to protect especially religious organizations.
Religious freedom.
Uh-huh. From being forced to do to deal with the gays, right? To have to poor refugee children have a home.
It's the horrors of having to deal with the gay people.
Yeah.
You need to protect
But anyway, so this couple, they are suing. It's actually so the names of the two women involved Fatma Maruf.
Oh, she sounds brown too.
Who has grew up Muslim.
Oh dear.
And Bryn Esplin, grew up Mormon.
Oh.
And they're a couple. And they're both professors at Texas A&M.
Elites.
And yeah.
I mean, I think Texas needs to do everything it can to prevent children from going into that home. That is clearly a home where a child will be.
Yeah. Anyway, they're suing.
Yeah.
They are suing.
They better.
And yeah. So I think it's great. This is that they're suing because clearly these things need to be challenged at this point because there is still continued backlash. We won the war on getting married, and now they want to just make sure that doesn't mean much.
Yeah, so. Yeah. They'll try and just narrow that box down to as few rights as can possibly be afforded to these people. Because you having rights, Frank, infringes my right to practice my religion as I want it to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I don't want to make you a cake, Frank. I don't want to. Don't adopt a kid. I'm going to take us to Idaho, where their state legislature's motto should be fodder for Dan and Frank forever.
Making the Utah legislature look good.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Since, 18 whatever.
Yeah. I know. The unreasonable Utah. Yeah, so they've introduced House Bill 419, which is making its way through the legislature.
Okay.
It's an interesting one. The idea is that it prohibits foreign law. State judges are not allowed to judge based on foreign law.
Has there been a problem with this?
This has never been a problem ever.
Why are they doing it then?
Sharia. They're worried about Sharia law. I don't know how they think Sharia law is going to insinuate itself into their court system. Their judges are constrained to obey state and federal laws, to enforce state and federal laws.
Right.
That's their whole job. 100% of their job. But these Idaho lawmakers are so worried about these Muslims coming in and putting that Sharia law in that they've introduced this thing. It's so ridiculous that a former state Supreme Court Chief Justice, as well as former Idaho Attorney General, unfortunately named Jim Jones, has written an op-ed about it. Basically saying that it's as ridiculous as we know it to be.
Right.
Why they can't see it, why these lawmakers can't see how absurd what they're proposing is, I will never understand. But he said, quote, "Quite frankly, I cannot recall any instance in my 50 years as an Idaho lawyer where there was even a remote possibility that a foreign law threatened the rights of any person in Idaho."
Wow.
"However, I can recall a number of instances where laws enacted by the Idaho legislature threatened to deprive citizens of their fundamental rights." That I remember. He said, "House Bill 419 serves absolutely no purpose other than to cast a shadow on a certain religious group."
Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for Jim Jones. I never thought I would say that.
Good for Jim Jones.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's amazing to me that, yeah, he's actually offended for the judges. Oh, wow. He says, quote, "It implies that Idaho judges are likely to violate their oath of office by applying laws from foreign countries and that they must be restrained from doing so." I think there must be. You and I, because of the show, listen to various and sundry things from your info wars, your stuff. But we can't listen to all of it.
Right.
I think that's sort of the Breitbart InfoWars,
right?
Like far right crazy machine must be pumping out the message that the Muslims are somehow trying to infiltrate our court system with Sharia. I would love to hear their explanation for how this would work, like through what mechanisms they expect.
Well, I think that there's this sense that, you know, I bet it's somehow tied into judicial activism and this idea that judges are just these loose cannons that aren't basing their decisions on anything, right?
Right.
And so the more that you can kind of suggest that judges are
corruptible or
anti-American.
Yes. Right. That's what our judges are.
Right. I think that you can just insinuate that into the
discussion,
the minds of and the discussions that are going around on the topic of, you know, judicial activism, then it gets even harder to trust the judges and the judicial system. And the fact that what they're doing is just checking the other branches of government, which is their job.
Right. Well,
that's what they're supposed to do. That's how our system's designed.
I will say this.
They're looking out for minority groups when the majority is out of control.
Is going crazy. I will say,
the majority, quote unquote, majority in this country right now is not the majority.
No.
Our system's fucked, and it's actually the minority that's running the whole damn thing.
Right.
But anyway, that's a side note.
I will say, like, I've started to worry about judicial activism only because the Trump administration has been just pumping unqualified,
and those people are unhinged. Those people are not qualified to be there.
Yeah, they're not qualified judges. If a judge is an actual,
those people would be more likely to enact some stupid law because they just don't fucking even know better.
Right. Yeah.
But the judges
like
that we've
people
had,
who have never been into a courtroom in their lives.
Right.
In their entire legal careers, in their four-year legal careers,
right,
are being tapped to be federal judges.
I know
that's
worrisome. One of the scariest things that's happening right now.
But
in this
when
country.
It's just your basic, you know, was a lawyer for 20 years and is now just a judge,
right?
When it's just that guy,
right?
That woman, whoever,
right?
Yeah, they're not. I think we're safe from Sharia. I think maybe we might be okay with the Sharia thing.
But the Christian, we are not safe from the Christian equivalent of Sharia with these new judicial nominees.
Right, which these Idaho lawmakers have no problem with whatsoever.
Right, exactly.
Matter of fact, that's what they want. What they want is to do the same thing that they're afraid of,
right?
Only with
Christians.
Their guy. What's ironic is that they believe all the same things that Sharia believes, other than just like
hijabs.
Like, yeah. The dress code and the food thing. They believe all the same stuff.
Right.
They just want it to be their God instead of the other God.
Right.
It's nuts.
Right.
All
but
right.
The other God is just, you know, his name is just God in another language.
Yeah. But he's the wrong one. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have stuff you'd like to say to us about this or any of the topics we've discussed, please feel free to write into us, podcast@thankgodimatheist.com.
Or You could leave us a voicemail message.
Yeah.
Get outraged.
Get your voice on the show. Maybe not as outraged as Frank's been.
And scream into that phone.
This entire episode.
I am ready for it. You can scream and yell at me.
Yeah.
Because I'm unhinged. Right?
Frank has come a little unhinged.
The telephone number is 424-666-8442.
Yep. Go to our Facebook page. Check out what's happening there. Facebook.com/TGIAtheist.
And while on Facebook, search for the TGIA Members Only Lounge and request to join. We'll let you in.
Yep.
Dan.
Uh-huh.
Gordon Klingenschmidt.
Ugh.
Klingenschmidt.
It just sounds gross. I don't know. I speak some German. I don't know exactly what that means. I think Klingen means ringing. But it just sounds like something bad is happening.
It conjures an image.
Yes.
Anyway, he's got stuff to say, as he does.
Well, he's got a show.
He does that. He says horrifying things. And so this is what he has to say this week.
Let's take a moment and discern the spirits. In this story, you have a Christian baker who is minding her own business, serving people wedding cakes. And probably birthday cakes and probably nondescript cakes of all flavors. And you also have a lesbian couple who is not content that they've somehow overturned the will of the voters twice in California who said marriage is between one man and one woman. Not content that they can go to any county clerk in America, even in Alabama, and get a marriage certificate for their act of sodomy. Not content that the government endorses their sin. Now they got to make Christians endorse their sin. Now they're coming after us, the church. Next thing, they'll want to have their wedding ceremony inside of a Catholic church and desecrate the altar. But no, that's not what this case is about. It's just about making the Christian baker celebrate their wedding with them and make a cake. Those are just the human actors in the story. Where are the spirits? Where's the spirit of God? Where are the demonic spirits in this story? You can discern the spirits by first discerning the moral choices of the human actors. Are they being influenced by God or by the devil? Well, Mrs. Miller, congratulations. We discern that you are being influenced by the Spirit of God, who tells you that even if it costs you your job, even if it costs you business, even if you get death threats and nasty photos in your email box from homosexual activists who hate you, you will continue to love them by saying no. You will continue to love God by saying, God, I want to obey you. I don't want to compromise. I don't want to sin and join them in their sin. We discern upon you the spirit of courage and boldness and purity, and you will not be compromised.
Man.
Oh.
Discerning spirits.
We discern upon you? I don't think he knows what the word discern means.
No, he does. He discerns upon her.
I'm going to discern upon you some things.
I'm
going to
discern over here for a minute. And
I don't think he knows that word. I don't think that word means what he thinks it means.
I'm discerning right now, Dan.
Oh. Ooh, you're discerning,
discerning
what spirit is in him.
That he doesn't understand the word discernment.
I feel like the whole cake thing, that side just needs to get right with it.
Yeah.
They need to understand what that conversation is about.
Right.
But they refuse to because it's a great yelling point.
Right.
So there you go. I don't know. I just liked the discerning spirits part of this thing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, we've definitely talked about the cakes and all that stuff enough on the show.
Yeah.
There are other episodes people could go to. If you want to hear us talking about that stuff, there are other episodes to listen to.
But I do like that he can discern the spirit. Like, he's basically saying, we can tell who's right and wrong in this by what, or like who agrees with us and disagrees with us by what they do. Wow. What a great insight, Gordon. That's amazing. How did you do that?
Yeah.
So just by seeing how they're acting and what they're doing, you can determine what part of the what side of this conversation they're on.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's really good. He uses the power of discernment is Mormons love discernment.
Oh my gosh, they do.
Really, really, truly love it. So I grew up with this word being tossed around a lot.
Mm-hmm. It's priesthood that gives you the power of discernment.
Yeah, you can see through bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Oh my God, I can read right through. I can see right through you, sir.
Which is why Mormons don't ever get sucked into scams like a multi-level marketing or anything, because they have the power of discernment.
Right. They discern that I will be a three diamond level distributor of this magical fruit.
Yeah.
From Tahiti.
Right. That even the locals don't drink.
Because it's horrifying.
It's terrible.
Yeah. But there's no cancer in Tahiti, though. Damn.
Nope. Nope. You want to know why?
Why?
All the cancer victims die.
Oh.
Oh.
Damn.
That was sad.
That was a dark place to take it.
Yeah. I did it.
Okay.
All right. We had one person write into us this week. This is from Elise, who says, hey, fellas, like you, I have no support. This is a Eurocall we talked about. Iceland floating the idea of making circumcision illegal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Male circumcision of children illegal. Like you, I have no support for circumcision. My son is not circumcised, even though I was raised Jewish. And I've read more than a few horror stories in articles about such things as moils who give babies herpes when they use their mouth to suck blood droplets from eight-day-old penises.
Which
is just like, even if there's not the herpes element, what the fuck are you doing? Anyway, if you haven't looked that up, that's a real thing, ladies and gentlemen. These men who do the circumcisions,
To be fair, not all moils do this.
No. But some of them do.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That said, I also want to consider the Icelandic bill to ban male circumcision alongside current anti-Muslim and anti-Semitic European trends. As an article on this bill in The Guardian recently noted, the Icelandic bill comes against a backdrop of a number of European countries prohibiting Islamic religious dress, such as the niqab or burqa. The Danish Parliament will debate a bill banning full face veils in public. Last year, Belgium voted to ban halal and kosher meat, citing animals' rights. Poland's government has proposed a new law prohibiting kosher slaughter, in a move vehemently opposed by the Jewish community. We may approve of as atheists and humanists appears within the backdrop of cultural biases and hatreds, I recommend we be sure to think about motives. In this circumstance, how about a law that bans non-hospital circumcisions alongside a government statement that male circumcision is not to be recommended as a best practice? Then we keep working on education to encourage folks to shed outdated and pointless practices beholden to Bronze Age norms.
Huh.
I hear her point.
Yeah.
But you know what? I think mutilation of children, again, who cannot provide consent, is just wrong.
You, sir.
Yeah.
Are coming at it from the correct perspective. Yours is not mired or steeped in animosity toward the group.
True, toward the religions. I get that.
Right. Whereas there is some question, and I agree with her, with some of these European laws.
Well, so we're talking about right thing for wrong reason question.
Exactly. And that is not creating a good environment for coming up with perhaps a better solution, right?
Right.
Or a stepping stone toward your ultimate end goal, right? To help these communities along.
Yeah, I guess to me there's this big problem of yes, all of the laws that are cited in that quote from the Guardian article, I'm sympathetic to every damned one of them.
Right.
Now, not 100%. Like, if a woman wants to wear a headscarf, I'm fine with that.
Right.
But when she starts to cover her face, there's a potential safety issue, a societal safety issue.
Well, yeah, in certain settings, like maybe, you know, you don't want somebody walking into a bank with their face covered.
I mean, right?
But just walking down the street,
there's still a bit of an issue there. I mean, there's still,
what's,
you know,
the harm.
There are potential harms. You know, a person who commits a crime with their face covered, we don't have a lot of places to go.
Right.
So we ask in society that everyone sort of show who they are.
Right.
Reveal who you are. Like, if you're going to be out in society, we need to all be aware of each other.
I suppose if there was a rash of, you know, muggings being taken place by people dressed up in burqas or niqabs or whatever, covering their face, right?
Yeah.
Then I suppose you could really address the issue.
If I were a criminal, that's what I'd do.
But you aren't, and it's not going out, and it's not.
Yeah.
Anyway, if that was a problem, then you address the issue.
But I think in this case,
you could take a precautionary stance and say, okay, banks and maybe anywhere where there's like indoor exchange of money, right? Anything like that.
And yes, you're right.
You could generally say in that moment, in that setting, you have to show us your face.
Yes. When your ID is being taken, you have to reveal your face. If a police officer wants to see who you are, you have to reveal your face.
Right.
Like, yeah, I mean, I think that that's more common sense. You're right. What I'm saying is that each of these laws, there are, like, motivation aside,
mm-hmm.
like the slaughter of animals.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like how they slaughter animals. And I think that there are more humane ways to slaughter animals. And so does an animal's right to a humane slaughtering trump a religious freedom? That's a tricky one for me.
Right.
I'm just saying, like, yes, there a lot of these laws, especially like banning the burkini in southern France or whatever,
right.
they're just racist.
There's malice.
And
dislike
Islamophobic.
For the community.
Right.
Yes.
And maliciousness is not okay.
Right.
But some of these laws, a lot of these laws, I actually have some sympathy for, because there is an actual problem that needs
right.
to be addressed. And eventually, societies, we're going to keep bumping up against these moments where, you know, we have to say the child's rights supersede the parents' rights to their religion.
Like, I hear you.
We have to make these stands. You know what?
It's just like the medical, you know, exemption crap.
Exactly.
You know, like, and so I absolutely hear you. And I think I'm in the same boat as you, where this isn't coming from a place of malice. It's coming from concern for the children.
Right.
But if it in general is if it's coming from a set of lawmakers who are hostile toward the community,
yeah.
and that can be pointed at, and there's a general hostility in the society, maybe that's not a good law to be enacting at that time, because you're just going to be fomenting,
religious hatred.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I definitely think that that's needs to be a consideration. It's
right.
just at some point you have to say this child's rights are more important than your imaginary friend in the sky.
Right. And I think certain societies might be able to start making steps toward that. But
it's tricky.
It's a really tricky one.
It's tricky. So anyway, thanks for writing in, Elise.
Yeah.
Do we have some folks to thank?
I do have people to thank.
We've got some new
patrons on Patreon.
These are people who are now going to receive early access.
Absolutely.
To the show. They're going to receive access to our bonus content that is
mm-hmm.
only available to our patrons.
Absolutely.
And they help keep the show going. They keep the show alive. Who do we got?
Well, we have a new, I want to start with our new Pope.
We have a new Pope?
We have a new Pope, everybody. The name is Joey Hello Dan and Frank.
Well, hello back, Joey. and bless you, my son, my father.
Yeah.
Father? What do we call a pope?
His holiness, Holy Father.
Holy shit. Holy shit.
We have three new what do we call them?
Beatified? Faithful?
Faithful.
Okay.
We have three new faithful listeners.
Yeah.
Fat Girl Ballet.
Okay.
I Hate Being Awake.
Okay.
And Tabitha.
Well, may gods who don't exist bless all of you.
Indeed.
We certainly do.
And there is somebody else to bless them.
Yeah.
Our Lord and Savior. Angela! Our top donor.
Continuing Lord and Savior Angela. Difficult to dethrone Angela. But yeah. She blesses us all. And we bless her back. So blessings to everybody, I guess. Everybody's blessed.
You get a blessing. You get a blessing.
The Church of Oprah. You get a blessing and you get a blessing. All right. Well, God bless.
Amen.
Was that a giggle?
That was a little giggle. I don't know. Cut that out. Cut out the giggle.
Dan.
Yeah.
Anger.
Here's the thing. Last week, you intrigued me.
I know. So much so that you even asked again.
That I even remembered it, which is shocking. I don't remember anything that happens on this show. I immediately dismiss it from my brain. No, last week, you said that you had recently been sort of feeling some anger at our former church bubbling up within you.
Oh, anger. Or feelings. You had some feelings. Some shifts in attitude.
Okay.
I guess you could say.
Talk to me. What do you got?
Well, you know, I think there's a, you know, you leave church, right? And you get a little angry.
Yeah.
Right? You spit venom.
There's a lot of reasons to be angry, especially, when you first leave your religion.
Yeah.
And you're like, holy shit. I believed so many fake things, and right. I was led to feel bad about myself, uh-huh. and I was made to feel like I was a shitty person,
yeah.
and all of these things. Yeah, there's a lot of reasons to be angry,
right.
when you first leave a church,
and you work through it.
Mm-hmm.
You go about your life. You find your happiness.
You find your joy.
Your joy.
Yeah.
And when we started this show, that's where I was at.
Yeah.
Lots of joy.
Yeah.
And that ebbs and flows.
Sure.
You know. And I think our listeners are familiar with the fact that I will get angry on an issue here and there.
They are now. I've heard the rest of this episode. They are now.
And, you know, also with respect toward religion,
yeah.
and religious topics,
sure.
as well, not just societal issues that are pissing me off.
You don't start a podcast if everything's honky dory.
Sure, yeah, fair enough. So, but I don't know what really shifted or how it shifted about certain aspects of Mormonism for me recently,
huh.
because I had just kind of had a take it or leave it sort of. Fuck them,
right.
sort of attitude.
Sure.
Right? But I was thinking about the mission, my mission, and I went to Italy for 2 years. And everybody's always just like, oh, you lucked out. And I'm like, yeah, I did luck out. Well, lucky me.
Yeah.
Right? I went and had this really very nice experience in a lot of respects.
You weren't sent right? to some shithole country.
No, it's not a shithole country. It's, you know, it, I mean, it sometimes smells like a shithole.
It can.
But
it can.
But no, I always just had the attitude of, I lucked out. I went and saw things that I never would have been able to see in that sort of depth.
Yeah, you right? experienced a different
at that,
culture.
At that resolution, I never would have seen Italy.
Right.
Never had the opportunity ever again in my life.
Right.
Right. I never will have another opportunity, probably, to live in Italy and experience it on that
yeah,
level.
Yeah, to have another, right? to experience a different culture in
probably won't happen.
To that degree.
Probably right. will not happen.
Sure.
Especially one that is so different, right? And so that was always kind of the bright side.
Yeah.
And I, however, something bubbled up where I was like, no, I was in a cult, deeply entrenched in a cult, and I was over there for 2 years, and those were 2 years that I could have been doing anything else.
Right.
And most especially, because my initial plan coming out of high school was to go into college. It was not to go on a mission right away.
Right.
Right. And this had received the stamp of approval from my parents.
Mm.
Right. And that I would go for 1 year and then I would do my mission.
Right.
But I just wanted to have just a moment out of the house.
Sure.
Right. Before going on a mission. Which I sort of secretly knew if I went, I was never going on a mission.
Right. Right.
Like I kind of was like half lying to myself about the whole mission thing where I was like, yeah, like just enough so I believed it. So it didn't feel like a lie.
Right.
Right. But I kind of also secretly knew, right. It just wasn't going to happen.
Sure.
Cause I had already accepted my sexuality.
Okay.
I knew that about myself.
And you knew that if you went away to college, you'd probably meet somebody else who also accepted.
There was a chance of that.
Well,
right?
and you know, yeah, you'd get it. The first year of college is all about just exploring you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Without all of the parents around and all the things, yeah, you would have explored you.
Right.
And then maybe explored him and him. Who knows?
Right. Who knows? Right. And so, like, I just started to, and that started to just kind of piss me off a little.
That you didn't have that.
That my dad came, because he was the bishop at the time, and he just kind of intercepted the whole thing. Right. After I went through the whole process of like, you know, getting accepted and getting into a program that I very specifically wanted to be in and blah, blah, blah. And my life would have obviously turned out completely different. I mean, who knows where or I would be if I'd still be alive.
Who
right.
knows?
I could have got hit by a bus if that. In that alternate universe.
If you had flapped that butterfly wing a different way. And
who the hell knows, right? And so,
I mean, maybe you would have prevented this whole Fukushima thing. Who knows?
I don't think somebody going to journalism school at Oklahoma University with an interest specifically in small town newspapers was really going to prevent a nuclear. You know,
meltdown.
You don't know.
Anyway,
but nonetheless, and it wasn't even in sort of the lost path. And it wasn't about this different path and who knows where it would have gone and blah blah blah. It was that this time was taken.
Yeah.
Right. And that it set up this moment in my life that where I ended up just sort of wandering aimlessly for a long spell.
Yeah.
Right. And,
you spent that, you had that amazing time in Italy, but you spent it with constant supervision.
Yeah.
And you were there specifically to try and indoctrinate other people into your religion.
Well, and lest I forget the reality of it, right? Yeah. The good, the memories, the things that I loved were on 1 day a week.
Yeah.
The rest of it was hell, and I was miserable, right?
Right.
I was truly miserable.
Yeah, the days that you were meant to go door to door, knocking on people's doors, trying to convince them that this nonsense was true.
I hated all of it.
Was the worst.
I hated all of that. I hated the zone conferences and the district meetings and, you know.
Oh, yeah. If there's one thing Mormons can do, it's some boring-ass meetings.
Right.
They'll get you in the meetings.
I hated all of that. I hated the work itself. I hated the long, ridiculous, horrible hours doing this thing that I didn't want to be doing.
Right.
And all for keeping up appearances at home.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's a rough one. And I think that's what we want. What I wanted to have this discussion about was this, because you and I are kind of known, I think, for being the nice guys of atheism, or you know, we're the ones who aren't angry all the time,
right?
And I think sometimes people, you know, in the atheist movement right now, they look at atheism and they say, well, if you're not angry, you're doing it wrong.
Right.
Or conversely, people say, why are you so angry? Just go out there and live your life and be happy. And that's better. And people have all of these like ways that they think to atheist correctly.
Mm.
And I think one of the things that I like about you having this moment of sort of resurging anger,
mm-hmm.
is that we have to feel all these feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Like these are things, like when you were brought up in a religion and you choose for your reasons to leave that religion,
mm-hmm.
there's going to be a panoply of feelings.
Oh yeah,
that come with that.
There's also there's a sadness over realizing and processing that you grew up in a cult.
Yeah. Yeah. Or that your parents
it's really what that still does to the relationship with your parents.
Yeah. And you've got family members that you feel that are still in that cult, that are still believing these things, that are still like sort of trapped in these mindsets that you feel are harmful or detrimental, which puts you in the position of either trying to convert them out and risking complete alienation from your family.
Right.
Or trying to create space in your brain for people that you love
mm-hmm.
to be in this crazy thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think I used to have the attitude, and I'm going to cop to this. I had the attitude that like all these really angry atheists are hurting the movement, and they're making it look like atheism is just this big ball of fury that, you know, why would anybody want to join that? Why would anyone want to leave a religion that at least purports to be about love and kindness and you know, wraps its arms around you?
Mm-hmm.
Why would anybody leave that to join all of these angry people out there? But I'm wrong. You know, we need all of us.
Well, and again, there are the different stages, and there are the different moments, and there are the different needs that you have, right? And so one moment you might really need that angrier voice
mm-hmm.
that's consistently reliably angry.
Yeah.
And that's what you need right now.
Yep.
Right? Because you're feeling the same thing and you need that person to help you process. And then you have the other parts of your life and the other moments of your life, and you need different voices as well.
Well, so. You know, when you first leave religion, I think it's really helpful to hear someone be completely sacrilegious.
Oh, yeah.
It's super helpful to hear somebody just make fun of all of the things that were supposed to be completely sacred and absolutely, you never make fun of this and you never make fun of another person's religion, because even though you believe something different, we just don't do that.
Right.
And the first time you hear somebody go, oh, fuck Jesus.
Right.
You go, what? And like,
but it's so good. But it's like, so titillating. And so,
and it frees you.
Mm-hmm.
It lets you open your brain up mm-hmm. to whatever is going to be real for you.
Mm-hmm.
But then you also need to hear people going, I'm just living a great life.
Yeah.
And I'm not mad, and I don't need to be mad.
Right.
I don't need to live my life about them.
Right.
My life doesn't have to be about their religious like dogma, even though that hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about them anymore. It's about me.
Right.
And having a good time. All of those voices need to be in there. All of those voices need to be represented. And we value, I think the point is that I have finally learned how to value everybody.
Really?
All of these people in our movement.
Hmm.
Maybe. I'm trying.
Yeah.
I'm certainly not. I'm not holding myself up as any paragon of like
ecumenical Dan.
Oh,
That's your new nickname.
You guys, I'm the best. I'm so great. You guys should all just be like me. Anyway, I think, you know, I think that's a good place to leave it.
Sure.
So,
why not?
But I do want to open this up to our listeners. If they want to participate in this conversation, I like this conversation and I want it to continue. So if you have something you'd like to say about it, please write into us, podcast@thankgodimatheist.com.
Or you could call and leave us a voicemail message.
We love that.
The telephone number is 424-666-8442.
Yeah. Go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/TGIAtheist, and see what Mackenzie's up to there.
And while you're on Facebook, search for the TGIA Members Only Lounge and request to join. It's a closed group, but we'll let you in.
Yeah, and that's a great place to also have conversations like
Absolutely.
This. Speaking of Facebook, thanks so much to Mackenzie for all her hard work on the page. And thanks to Sarah, Amy, and Danny for helping out with moderating the Members Only Lounge.
And a big thanks goes out to the Red Rock Hot Club for the continued use of their music and Gordon Johnston for the use of his music.
Yeah, and thank you, dear listener. Oh, thanks again to our patrons. I want to shout out again to our patrons, remind you that if you want early access to the show and access to bonus content, you can get it by going to thankgodimatheist.com and clicking on the patron button. And then I can't express enough how much we love and adore all of our patrons.
Yeah. And of course, go onto YouTube, watch us, and subscribe. Yeah. YouTube.com/TGIAtheist.
Yeah. Yeah. And thank you, everybody, for just listening. We sure do appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.